Yeah, so regarding the sugya of Me'uberes, which we've been talking about, just a couple of added, comments. First of all, the Shakravatari itself, as we noted, is very, very fascinating. the whole question of Lemafreya and whether or not Mu'beres is a hard suffek or a soft suffek, whether or not it creates a shame Eshes Ach or maybe some other impediment, is obviously in its own right very interesting from a, you know, status of an Ubar and that whole question, but even more so the impact that that has on Yibum and on Chalitza. So that's a topic to do more thoroughly. We've touched on it a couple of times, but I do want to just add to it a little bit now in light of what we had been discussing. So two things. Number one is that, again, what was Reish Lakish's idea? I had mentioned this quickly, that according to Reish Lakish, right, it seems like, Rabbi Yochanan has the comment that, if Eliyahu HaNavi were to come and you were, you had insight, you had foreknowledge, let's say, of, or knowledge in this case, both knowledge and foreknowledge, about whether or not the nefilah, there would be a nefilah or there would be a vlad shel kayama, etc. So, that would be sufficient. So hachanami, you should say that, as well, and therefore you should say that, either yibum or chalitza, even during the state of uberis, would be chal. And Reish Lakish disagrees. And Reish Lakish basically argues that you don't say this this idea of Lemafreya. So some of the Rishonim were troubled, and I was trying to explain what that is all about. So some of the Rishonim were troubled because we do find in other places that when you have a safek, even if you are not yourself personally aware of the certitude involved, that the Gloy Milsa, really is affected. So we were discussing whether or not, there's a difference between different types of sfeikos, hard suffek and a soft suffek, as I called it. But also, of course, it touches on the question, and that is the, category that you are applying it to. Is it the kind of thing which is sensitive enough, to either a soft suffek or a hard suffek? It's easier to be sensitive to a hard suffek than a soft suffek, but it's not completely, inconceivable that even a hard suffek wouldn't be enough to derail certain things. And it's also not clear that, especially if you're very, very sensitive, that a soft suffek, even one, in other words, that is based on a lack of yedia, and an yedia which is nitenes lebirur, but in some cases maybe the fact that you don't know is already a status enough, even if it is a soft suffek. So as I say, there are two issues here. One is the type of suffek that it is, and there is a range, and the second is, like, what kind of category are we dealing with? So the first question is always just an interesting question as a phenomenon in halacha, right? The idea that there are, and it belongs to, again, when a safek lechumra, when a safek lekula, whether we care about the difference between of a what I call an usham, talui type of safek, of ikva isura, as opposed to a more typical suffek, right? Because mathematically, probability-wise, there's absolutely no difference, in the numbers, but the halacha does perceive it to be very different. Things like that. Maybe a suffek, shenitan lebirur or shalonitan lebirur, etc. Those phenomena and the application is an interesting study. But more important for us here is we're, you know, particularly curious about Yibum. And again, it's, you know, heightened sensitivity. Is it possible that this too is part of the story? Namely, since there is, you know, an Isur of Eishes Ach, and since even, you know, in an appropriate case of Yibum, it's either just Dechuya, or if it's Hutra, it's a Hutra, you know, which is based on, you know, heightened, you know, sensitivity to the Kedusha part, and that everything should, you know, not only be okay, but, you know, be okay plus, you know, in the sense of not stepping on areas of Kedusha, but also maybe be okay plus in terms of perception. So that's why this becomes like a doubly interesting issue. So when Reish Lakish says that, you know, and when Rabbi Yochanan says, like, you know, this is what we usually do. We say, if Eliyahu HaNavi was here, you know, when he could whisper, you know, in our ear, you know, it's today I was at a bris, you know, together with, you know, Yonadav. So that's, you know, the Eliyahu HaNavi, you know, is very looming large. And the Seder night, Eliyahu HaNavi looms large as well. So if Eliyahu were, you know, able to whisper in our ear, says Rabbi Yochanan, that would be the end of it. So it's just like a technicality that we don't know, you know, and therefore it's all... So what does Reish Lakish say to that? So that is a very interesting question. And the Bali Tosis actually give an answer to that question. And we talked about the range of possible answers. I just wanted to zero in on that for another minute just to document it for the first reason, but especially for the second reason. So Tosis here, Reish Lakish Sabar, Ben Ein Lo Ayin Alav. Again, it's hard to know whether the Svara and the Mikra, you know, are the same or not. That's also a question. I'm not going to get to that right now. But Tosis says, Hoel Ba'osa Shah Hoyaroy Lehiskayin. Vim Tomar Imkein Tifta Lashuk Bilo Chalitza Kamo Bezer Apostle. I'm sorry, this is the wrong Tosis. This is important also. The Nafkalon, right, you know, we find the Ayin Alav is a Ptur Lagamri. So Tosa says there are two types of Pturim in the basis of Ayin Alav. It doesn't have to be permanent. But the next one, sorry. Tigali Milsilam Afreya Lo Amrina, and that's what Reish Lakish says. Tosa says, Apagav de Lekamon, Gabi Tzveikos, Shekidish Akas, Mishteyachios, right? Choshvinan La, you know, Bas Chalitza V'Yibum, Kivin Dim Yavo Eliyahu V'Yomar, Da Kaddish, you know, the Hot Kaddish, meaning this one and not that one. So, you know, if Eliyahu HaNavi were whispering in your ear, you know, that would work. So, you know, just because he isn't, and you don't know, right, why should that be Ma'ake? So here Tosa says, Lo Dami, the Hachi Einza Safek Ro'ui L'Hisbarer Achshav, right, She Efshar Leida Ho'asidos. Aval Hasam ain't sarich leida, ela masha ba'osa shah. So that distinction between, you know, whether or not this is, you know, just this is a suffake based on lack of yediya, or it's a suffake that is more, you know, intrinsic, even if there is a single solution, and even if it is kamei shmaya galya, but given the fact, you know, that people typically... you know, or that, you know, I guess EF Charleda Hoasidos is a principle, right? So even if there is a single, you know, just unknown, like in retrospect, there is, you know, a birur of this safek. So nonetheless, the fact that it's, you know, Eina Nitan Liyadiya in principle at the moment, as opposed to just Nitan Liyadiya, we just don't know. So that, I think, is Tosis' way of basically distinguishing between a hard and a soft safek. Okay, so that is point number one. What about Vim Tomer L'Reish Lakish Hakodesh Sivemto Muberes V'Pila? That's the other part. But I think it's not a coincidence that one leads into the other. But that's the Hutra and the Dechuya issue that we discussed previously. The Ritva Alatar quotes a different answer for the Balei Tosfos. Yeah, just one second. I think I have it on my phone. No. Wrong thing. And then he quotes an answer for himself. So I think these are just very interesting issues. The Ritva quotes the following. Maybe I don't have it. Or do I have it? Oh, I do have it. Okay. Kashale l'maram. I think it shouldn't be the maram. I think it should be the ra'ah. I think in the more critical Ritva, they say l'ra'ah. Or l'mori, you know, which is always the ra'ah. My tamad the reish lakish b'ha. The shaper kam Rabbi Yochanan. U'bekul talmuda amrinan. Right? V'ilohachi kaimelon k'reish lakish. We paskin like Rish Lakish in this case. And typically, this idea that, you know, just because we don't know, you know, but if somebody, you know, would know, like if Eliyahu HaNavi knows, that's enough, especially Lamafreya. So the Tirei too, so the Ritva's own answer is very interesting. And that is that there are two types of, hapalas or nefilas. There are two types of miscarriages, basically. There's a miscarriage which was, you know, a child, a fetus that was never viable. This has its own implications, obviously. And then there's a miscarriage where the fetus was viable and then something happened later on. And what the Ritva is suggesting is that since you don't know, if you knew for sure, right, that the, or if there was only one category, namely the first one, so then in Achanami, you know, we would say that, you know, in Yavo Eliyahu, that would be sufficient. But once you have the second, which means at the moment this is a viable, it's just that, you know, Eliyahu Navi, you know, basically knows, what should happen based on the reality of now, but he also, you know, was given like a glimpse ahead, I guess, and therefore he knows, you know, how it will, you know, also unfold, even if that's a trajectory that is different from the present. So this is what he says. So the tirei tu dereish lakish chalitza rishona mesipekasi devadai im b'shah shecholeitz lo haisa reuya lava lechlal leida, meaning the fetus is not viable. Hahi ibor kemandalei sadami, the chalitza shechalatzla, right, is ksheira. Ela diiu chayish dilma ba'osa shal reuya haysalele, vavlad hayagamur, ela shegaram garam la achrechein goreim lahapil, the chalitza demikara lav chalitza he klal, meaning it's mechalek between, even though lemaisa there's going, just to make it clear, there's going to be yibum or chalitza, you know, afterwards. Again, that could have been another, that's one of the points that we made, that could have been another place to be mechalek, you know, whether, this is an ayin alav problem, you know, or not. So, we don't go that far. So since we don't go that far, so why do we care whether the fetus was viable, or the fetus was never viable? But that is the chiluk that we're making. And it's obviously a very logical one. And in a way, what we're saying is that, you know, you don't even need hard suffix and soft suffix necessarily for this. It's more than a hard suffix. Okay, but that's an in-between category, you know, in terms of ayin alav, which is very important. What does Rabbi Yochanan say about this? So that Ella, ulahachi ka'amar di goy milsul mafrei lo amrina. Rabbi Yochanan, and of course that's not comparable at all to the, you know, the sisters case. You know, that's even a clearer chiluk than that of Tosis. Rabbi Yochanan savar kol shei pila eino ibo rishon klum. So this becomes a very interesting, ibor issue, right? In addition to the, like, you know, what's the status of and what's the criterion for soft and hard Sveikos, as we noted, this is also a question about, Yerachimo, Ibur, but in light of what happens later, So what the Ritva is suggesting is that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish Kufa are arguing whether it's true that if you have a change in trajectory, that impacts the status of the Ibor Legabe Chalitza Vadai, in other words, on a fundamental level or not. That's itself just very fascinating. Then he says, Upatosis Piresh, this is not Artosis. Artosis said its distinction, maybe between a hard and soft Tzafek, but defining it in terms of, you know, asidos, as opposed to it's knowable in the present if you just know, right? The Tosis he quotes is, Ubitosis Piresh to Reish Lakish Savar, Kol Shehi Mu'uberes, Bishum Tzad, Hudelo Toel Chalitza. Shela Omer HaKosuv Lachlotz Ela B'mokom She'en Shum Tzad Shel Ben La'olam U'Kedinoket Basar Hachi. So this too is a fundamental perspective, meaning even if it's type number one of Havlad Eina, you know, Kayama, I'm sorry, even if it's type number even if it's type number one of Vlad, she'ena kayama, meaning that the fetus was not viable, you know, to begin with. And even if you could know that, like, you know, Eliyahu Hanavi could whisper it into your ear, it wouldn't make a difference. Because in terms of the Hagdara, you know, of uben ein lo, that means ein shum tzad shel ben ba'olam. Right? Even, you know, an ubar, but again, not long term, but at least in terms of the maisa yibum and the maisa, you know, chalitza. So what I wanted to add to this also, so I think there are three issues here. Number one, about ubar. Number two, about soft and hard sphakos, and so on. And number three, as a something important about, you know, at least for Reish Lakish, about when you say, what does it mean, you know, when you said, you know, ayin alav, or the criterion of when you say yibum and chalitza. I think there might be a fourth perspective. The Meiri al-Atar in that sugya thinks that, again, this is one of the cases where we paskin like Reish Lakish against Rabbi Yochanan. And the Meiri, lahalacha, one second, did I put that down? Did I write it or not? If you could look it up. The Meiri in that sugya disagrees. Meiri says that we paskin like Reish Lakish, but only midrabanan. But the midaraisa, really, you have it?
Yeah.
Go ahead. And then keep it open because I want to get talking about it. Yeah. So even though mikra maisila, because ben en lo, right? It's an asmachta bialma. So obviously, you know, one of these ideas, you know, since you paskin like Reish Lakish, but I find it very interesting, you know, that the Meiri basically doesn't want to abide here about this notion that there's a special either status of Safek, right, or of Uber Koldehu, you know, which even temporarily, Midoraisa, negates the Yibum and the Chalitza. That it could very well be that the, you know, the difficulty that Tosis and the Ritva are, you know, contending with, or the, for him, the inadequacy of the answers drives him to a very radical conclusion. Because most Rishonim, the Pashtus, when you read the sugya, you know, and the Psak, it doesn't seem like this is a Dindarabana. It seems like this is a Dindaraisa. So it's a radical view of the Meiri that says otherwise. So that's point number one I wanted to make. Point number two, the Ritva, and that is, you know, the Ritva's question. So the Ritva on Lamed Hei Amud Beis, you know, when he discusses the machlokes, you know, Rav Yochanan, Reish Lakish, Abaye, Rava. So he just asks the question. I mean, Abaye was of the opinion that according to Rav Yochanan, we're mechalik between Bias Me'uberes, right, which is Lo Shma, Bia, but Chalitzas Me'uberes, Shma Chalitza. Right, and then that triggers, that's why we're into this topic, Zev, what does that trigger? The discussion of? Which is why we're focusing on this right now. Kalola, exactly. Meaning, that's why, because Rava said to Abaya, correct? You have the line there in the Gemara? I figure, like, you moved down, so...
Yes, that's correct.
You know.
After unlimited release.
Yeah, yeah. You have the line of Abaya first, and then just the Shaka Vatari, which we've been dealing with, but...
The Via Kuyama?
That, you know, his chiluk.
Yeah. Abaya, the Via Kuyama, lo plidi below patra, plidi b'chalitza.
Yeah. Meaning the argument between Rav Yochanan and Shlakish is only about Chalitza, meaning Rav Yochanan who says that whatever takes place, you know, bin me'uberes, shma, is only Chalitza, but bias, or yibum, sorry, yibum, me'uberes, lo, you have it there? Yeah, go ahead.
Rav Yochanan, sorry, Chalitza's me'uberes, shma Chalitza, bias me'uberes, lo shma bia.
Excellent. And that's where Rav Shlakish disagrees.
Rav Shlakish have our bias me'uberes,
yeah, go ahead. That's where we get to our Gemara. I don't think we ever read it, but right. Manafshach. Right. And so on. Okay. Good. So that's what brings us to this issue. So there are two things that I wanted to just briefly discuss. In this connection. So we've been discussing the Ola Liyibam Ola Chalitza and the impact of Muberes and whether Muberes is a bigger Chiddush, you know, and so on. Talked about in terms of the Rush, which we'll get back to in just a second. But before we even get to that, so there's an interesting, again, comment of the Ritva. And that is, like, what, you know, what's the reason, you know, that if Chalitzas Me'uberes, forget about the Kala'ola for a second, we'll get to that in a second, but if it's true that Chalitzas Me'uberes, that Bias Me'uberes, you know, is a problem, then why isn't Chalitzas Me'uberes a problem? Like, what is the explanation for Abaya, basically? Dim Tomar, Ula Abaya, my Tama, the Moda Rabbi Yochanan, the Bias Me'uberes, the Losh Mabia. Right? Meaning, if their reasoning is, let's say, gloi lamafreya, or you know, it's rooted in, you know, if the argument is about, you know, ben ayin olav, right? And we've seen the parameters of that just a little bit, you know, in addition. So why should you be mechalik between a bia and the chalitza when it comes to that particular issue, right? So that, you know, that's just another way of saying, like, why? You know, mechatesi, but it's a stronger mechatesi because of the reasons. But the answer is, I think, very interesting. So, v'yei shlomar, the kasavar, kivin, anybody, do you have it open? Yeah, go ahead. I didn't give you to look at it, so, but. The kivin de bia de isura hi.
There's
no de abaya savar. Yeah, it's in the middle of Dibur Maskal Amar Abaya. Right? So, im tomer la abaya, my time at the Bodur of Yochanan, the bia muberes, shaloshma, bia tve mechalitza. Right? The svaro krod, you have that? Yeshlomar, Zev?
Yeshlomar
de
kasavar
de
keva?
Yeah. So what do you think about that answer? The kiven de bia di isurahi, shema teled vlad shel kayama, dinhu de bia di isur lo tikne. Okay, ava bechalitza leke isura.
There's nothing wrong with the chalitza. It's the bia that's the
Right, so technically we know what he's saying. There's a suffek bias iser. If you do chalitza, even if it ends up to be for nothing, you know, there's no downside. Fine. But there's a problem here. What's the problem? Maybe?
Maybe there's no iser.
Yeah, and not only maybe, but it's going to be on the mafreya that there's no iser.
For the sake of the case where it turns out there's no iser.
Right, I mean, if you're asking b'shaito, it's one thing. We're not talking about whether you should do this or not. That's not the machlokas, Reish Lakish, and Rabbi Yochanan, right? The question is, if you did it, and then it turns out the mafreya, right, that there is still a zika, that there always was a zika, that the vlad was in a shalkayama, you know, so we want to know, you know, now we're asking, what's the difference between bia and, between yibum and chalitza? In both cases, it's a safek, right? It's true that, like, going forward, if the question was, you know, a policy question, you know, should you be cholates, should you be miyavim, this is a no-brainer, you know, answer, right? Of course, you know, if you want to be the cholates, you know, then, you know, you might be wasting your time and you might be, you know, involved in a Ligoy Milson and effective chalitza. As far as the Ibum, you know, you can't chance it. But no, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about they did it. And it turns out that there was a Vlad, right, She'ena Shel Kayama. So we're saying, oh, that's why the chalitza, you know, Lamafreya is good. But the Maisabi is no good. What do you mean? Why? Because Kivan de Bia de Isurahi, Shema Teled Vlad Shel Kayama, which didn't happen, Dinhu de Bia de Isur Lo Tikne. So what's the idea, Levi?
The heightened standards of Ibum.
Exactly.
You can't change what the protocol was. Even if you got missed, I'm afraid, the protocol at the time was.
I mean, there's a Vadai Isur.
Yeah.
Correct. Meaning, being Miyabim, that's why I wanted to emphasize this. Being miyabim besafek, even if it turns out that there always was a zika, right? Does that render, you know, the yibum, you know, in a vadai way, you know, inappropriate for yibum or not? I mean, there might be inappropriate for yibum or not. Can you say gloim bilsa l'mafreya to be machsh? I mean, again, obviously the other view of Rabbi Yochanan, the answer is yes, right? But we're trying to understand, like, Abaya. So what comes out is that even though it's misafek, right, and in some respects it's a soft safek, because this is the view that's saying, you know, that the chalitza lemafreya is kshera, right? So it's a soft safek, but it's a soft safek that is a maisa shel isur b'shaito. Can a maisa shel isur b'shaito, even if it's a soft safek, create a kinyan yibum? Says the Ritva, and I think the language is so meduyak, the kivan de bia de isurahi, even lemafreya, it was a bia de isura in terms of the heter agabra, just not in terms of the chesa, you know, of isur eshesach, right? Shema teled vlad shel kayama, and therefore it's asur. Dinhu, that's like such a great line, de bia de isur lo tikna, it's a bias isur vadai, even though lemafreya, it turns out that there was a zika, and therefore a bias isur vadai violates the heightened requirements of yibum shel kedusha. But you don't have that problem in chalitza, because, you know, the chalitza doesn't buy it. The chalitza misafek, you know, might not be advised, and it might not end up being effective, right? But it doesn't violate, it doesn't touch on any, you know, heightened sensitivities. Yeah?
We have a lot of cases where there's a yibum that's done. Any case of chayv lavin, which we say yibum.
No, so that's because if you paskin, so again, it's comparable to the chayv lavin. You know, in the, you know, if you say that there's no yibum kinyan daraisa, you know, in the case of, you know, if that's a pshat in Rav Gidol, Meaning, because Kol Torah Kula, you're saying Ase Dechalos Ase, and here you're not, right? But if you once we know that that's not what Rabbi Gidol said, and that there is Ase Dechalos Ase, so then what we're saying is that's Vadai Mutter. So is Vadai Mutter, you know, based on Ase Dechalos Ase, superior to Asa Bishaito Bisafek Isur Gamor, you know, Asur Biglal Safek, that's the ironic.
So what about Ase Bilal for the Ram? If there's a Mitzas Kin, so what does it mean? Din Mishalot?
No, but it's still Asur.
Yeah, but there shouldn't be any Kinyan, according to me.
No, so that's the question. What I'm saying is this Ritva for Reish Lakish has expanded, has expanded the notion of Emibem Lokana. That's true. Again, you have to look at each case, so it's like the exact opposite in Achanami. That's going to be my next line. But why even take the Rambam in, you could if you want. In Ase Velav, assuming that it's Mixas, which is, maybe. Right? Or the view of like the Karen Ora and people like that, who say, yeah, Lamaskana, it's almost everything is Imibem, Kana. It's only if it's a Xeris HaKasuv or Rav Gidol, in the Gemara that we say Imibem Lo Kana. So compare that to the Ritva, who's suggesting that even a Safek, which Igloi Milsa Lamafreya, turns out not to have, been a violation, of Eshesach. Is that even that is, Yibem, Lokana. So I agree, though, those are a sharp contrast. But all I'm explaining is that the sharp contrast highlights a perspective of, again, going outside of the normal klalim of Kol Torah Kula, because this is, at this point, for Reish Lakish, you're dealing with a soft safek, where with Lamafreya, no problem of Zika. Nonetheless, did he do a Maisa Avera Begavra? Did he do something illegal at the time, as opposed to Ase is Dochalos Ase? So there's a Vadai Lav, but you're also Beheter, right? And then to compare that, surely you would think, that if it's, in Ase Dochalos Ase vi Ase, or Ase, or something, you would think. I mean, it could still be Michalik, but that's exactly the point. Okay, that's point number two. Yeah.
How much is it related to the general sugya of Hashem Yeslacha and this person, he did something with Afreya, in the end it wasn't Naveir, but same with the case of Hashem Yeslacha where we say you stand in Kapara.
Right, so these are quite like in the Darim and things like that.
Like, why is it not general quads or
right, so what I'm suggesting is that, there's a greater sensitivity here. Well, I mean, there are two questions. One is, in terms of Kapara, again, you're not Chayev Chatas, it's not the Chuya. The Ritva is in the group with the Ramban and others. Even Vali Tosis, think that for Reish Lakish, although it's difficult for them, right? I would also add, by the way, I'll get to that in a second. But, the idea that we paskin, like Reish Lakish is something that may have been particularly unappetizing for the Be'iri for another reason. I mentioned one, which is, it seems to go against, other Gemaras and maybe doesn't like these Chilukim or the significance of the Chilukim, etc. There is another reason, and that is, as we've noted, the problem of Dechuya, for those who believe in it, the biggest problems for Dechuya are two sugyas. I mean, there are other sugyas, but one is the problem of Katan, Kana, and the other is the problem of Muberis. And the problem of Muberis, of course, is the problem, particularly of Reish Lakish. You know, so I don't think it's such a coincidence. Miri has, again, different views on Hutra and Dechuya, but I think that's also, you know, part of it. So either way, the general question that you're talking about, which is, you know, in terms of actual kapara, may not apply here. What I'm trying to suggest that this is different precisely because we're more sensitive to allowing, you know, this whole institution to begin. So I think it's a good ha'ara to bring it up, and that's exactly the point. Okay. The third point... Yeah.
Couldn't you say also the hekif that in a way it's much worse because then even...
The what's worse?
In this case, because you might need badai...
Worse for what? For example,
then the
5-11.
Yeah, because this isn't just the isser. I mean, the isser is much less than those other cases.
Right, but since it's a suffek eshes sa, you're saying,
and therefore it's inkan mitzvah zibum. Mitzvah zibum only when you have a bada.
Could be. I'm just saying because it's a soft suffek, and you're going to go back, you know, to there being igloy milsul afraid that there's a zika and a mitzvah zibum. You know, so all I'm saying is it's very striking what he says, and that, you know, it's easy to argue with, and that the language that he uses, which is it's a suffek, right? But it's an iser, you know, and therefore becomes a din, and therefore it's lo kana. I think all these is all about this hypersensitivity. Now, in raising a second question, which is like, you know, is this better or worse than, let's say, chai be'lavin? I agree with you. I think it can go either way. I was trying to show that. You know, even if you hold that, you know, halacha that chai be'lav in ase dechalos ase, so that it's a vadai, your vadai lav versus a igloi milsalam afreya, you know, nothing. But b'shaito, what you're saying is, it's a suffek eshasach. A suffek eshasach is a more, you know, is a greater insensitivity, let's say, you know, to yibum than even, you know, chai be'lav in, and especially, but. Yeah, I think it will go either way. Yeah.
Does this necessarily contrast, I'm not sure if it was here, but Tosfos Yeshayahu says that even if the woman wants to do chalitza, we don't do it. He says, it's on Gimel Mugalev.
Yeah.
Abba mina melechatz chalitza, im haya rotza, kamashalan, kola oled, eno choletes mina Torah. Yach mash mekra, im lo yach, what's vashara, abba eno yach liyavim, in lo basin lasa, was that filo yimim rotza. Does that connote some sort of like isser, or maybe that's only this?
So that reason? Again, that goes to like the Tosfos Yeshayahu,
no,
you know, also on Daf Gimel.
Yeah,
meaning this idea of you know, is there like a separate mitzvah even when it's not effective, or an isser when it's not effective? So I'll get back to that when I talk about the Yeshayahu.
I mean, the Ritva thinks there's pachlis, and there's no isser in the chalitza here.
Right, there's no isser. What he's saying, meaning since there is no there's no iser b'shaito, so you haven't violated you haven't vadai, like trampled on the kedushas issues of the Jew. That's what we're trying to say. That doesn't mean that, you know, that there can't be an iser or that there can't be a mitzvah, right? It just means that, you know, relative to a maisa bia, the suffek eshes ach, even if it turns out fine, but the fact that you were going to do that, you know, that's a hafkah of kinyan, you know, and mitzvahs, you know, yibo. Masha enkein chalitz. I think that's true anyway, no matter what you say, Tosfos Yeshayahu wise, but I think it's a good thing to bring up. You're raising the point, what about chalitza separate from whether it's a matir or not, you know, as a mitzvah and as an iser? And that is connected to that Tosfos Yeshayahu and the Beis Shmuel, you know, and the to the Yerushalmis that we still have to talk about, which we'll talk about that Thursday.
It's like the Ritva is saying that doing a Maisa Chalitza unnecessarily can never be...
Right. He's not necessarily saying it can never be an Iser. What he's saying is that the Suffolk, you know, and especially a Suffolk, which is, again, what I'm trying to point out is that it's an enormous Kiddush, although it helps tremendously to answer the question, to say that, you know, Suffolk, you know, Bias Isur, you know, shelem afreya, you know, igloi milsa, that, you know, you ended up doing nothing wrong, but b'shaito, it was wrong because of safek, and even a soft safek, that is enough to be mafkia, the chalos and the kinyan, right, is a chiddush. Now, to, and therefore you're not going to say that chiddush by chalitza, because in chalitza you're not offending anybody. I mean, you are offending, but like there's no, you're not taking a risk of safek, you know, iser eshesach. You know, chalitza is just chalitza. That does not preclude, which is I think what you're asking, and I think it's a good point, that doesn't preclude that there might be, you know, independent status to chalitza, you know, either as a mitzvah or as an iser under certain conditions. Like that's what you're trying to point out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll just add that the Ritva Mandal himself does suggest that Otam, that in the Gemara's Otam,
yeah,
he says that Yisur Deraisa will show Lachos Levazoski with Tzor. There might be a Kfeda Deraisa. It may not be consistent.
Yeah, 100%. Right, that's a good thing to add.
But like an Isur Kali versus a Prati and Ivum, an Isur Kali will Levazos, it wouldn't be Makia Chalos, because it's not an internal point to Ivum, but it's sensitivity, but it just happened.
Correct. Okay, good. So then one other point, and that is, this is the one that Tani, where's Tani? Is he here? He's not here? You know, I was going to say, I'm not looking at both of you, but like, you know, Shomar Achi Anochi, but like, you know, have to split that up between the brothers. It's you know, it's practically like a Yibum problem. You know? Like, is there a din of Acha Gadol when it comes to Hashomar Achi? I don't know. Anyway, Tani had brought to my attention, I had it on my list, I just didn't get to it, or I forgot about it, it was on my list. And that is that the Ritva, you know, also has, you know, an important comment about the machlokas between Abaya and Rava itself, you know, relevant to, you know, everything that we've been discussing. So, again, the question that the Ramban raises, this is point number three, the third Ritva I wanted to mention, and that is, you know, like how, you know, what does it mean, you know, that Rava says to Abaya, you know, kola ola, like what about, you know, ase v'lav? We have exceptions, you know, to kola ola. Since we have exceptions, you know, so like what's the exception, what's the rule, and like why is everybody so, you know, convinced, why is Rava so convinced, you know, that the rule applies here, and why is Abaya, you know, so convinced that it doesn't? So we talked about that for the Ramban, and we talked about it for the Rajba. We noted that the Rajba, the Ramban, you know, has Aseh Balav as Isur Mishum Dabar Acher. The Rajba has it as a, you know, a Ribuya Dekra. The Ritva also has it as a Ribuya Dekra. But again, the language of the Ritva and how he understands the Machlokas is very is a little bit different and important. So here's the language. This is on the first piece on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Vim Tomar Abaya Heichem Meid Ba Dekula Almahi Umikra Darshinan the Perketzad the Hedja. Right, again, we as we noted, it's not so clear that Kula Ola is Gzeres HaKasu. It appears in different sugyas, and maybe there are two dinim. The Hochin sugya bebechilton kula. The afagav the ikachai be'lavin v'asei. Right, sheolin lechalitz ve'no libim. Hasam ribuya the bivemtohi k'diisa parakeitza. It's a special gzeres hakasu for asei b'lav. Okay, some people have that. That's fine. Either way, what are you going to do about this argument here? What is Abaya thinking that he's mechalek between Yibum and Chalitza, you know, when it comes to Uberes? So it's also, the Mitzvah says, Yesh Lomar, the Abaya Sovar, Kivin de Lebesof, Hufra Lolo, right? Uruya Li Yibum, Ela Shehoisa, Tzricha Lahamtin, Kadesh Yisbarer, Velo Yehe Beiser, right, Ola Liibum Karinan Bay. This is actually very interesting. Meaning, Abaya doesn't think this is an exception, you know, to Kola Ola Liibum. Right, he really thinks, you know, that it really is Ola Liibum. Right, it's just a timing factor. So, this is particularly interesting in light of the Ritva that I just mentioned before. Right? Kilim b'divasof huvra lo uru'uya liyibum elashat sricha lahamtin kidei sheyizbarer v'lo yehe be'isa. But we just finished noting, right, that it's an iser, and it's a din, you know, and it's therefore, you know, lokana. This is all a mafreya, right? You know, so which is it? But again, there's no stira. You know, these are two different, you know, two different points basically. But the fact that they come together, you know, makes it even more interesting and significant. He has a very strong view. In other words, even though it confirms it, it's a soft safek that he gloy the mafreya, that she was always ru'uya, you know, ligibum. Nonetheless, you know, the fact is that there was still an iser gabra bishaito, which disqualifies on a kinyan level from ligibum. That's, you know, become the, given the formulations and how extreme they are, going together makes it even better, in my opinion. But that is the, that's the din. The din is that basically, you know, when you look in terms of chalitza, so it's just a waiting problem, not a, you know, igloi that it's mufka, you know, legamri. The rava, a hadarle, so this is also very interesting, the Bahanami Darshinan Kol She'en Alol Yibam Shalote Olam L'Chalitza. Right? Listen to the language. La'olam Ein Chalitza Ela B'Sheyachol Yavim Ba'osa Sha'a Mamish. So, this isn't about the common denominator of Zika, of course. That's Pashut. But even more than that, again, you could have said, like, you know, according to... you know, according to Reish Lakish and according to Abaye and Reish Lakish, that this is a hard safek, you know, and that, you know, then the question is, okay, hard safek, you know, but maybe not legabe chalitza. To say that it's really omed liyibom, that's a soft safek, is very fascinating. But then that puts pressure on Rabba, if that isn't goofy what they're arguing about, namely, you know, why, according to Rabba, you know, is this kola ola liyibom, if it's just a waiting, you know, factor. The answer is, right, it's about lemaisa befoal, you know, the idea that there's no chalos chalitza whenever, you know, there's no befoal yibum. Le'olam ein chalitza ele v'sheyochol liyabim, and added, be'osa shah mamish. The only question is, like, to raise the question again of the rush. Namely, what would you say about Nida? Right? Because that was, you know, not the Reb Chaim issue in Nida, the rush issue in Nida. Namely, there's no Nesra. You're vadai going to have Yibum, you know, in a month or in 2 weeks or whatever. Right? Is there a problem of Chalitza even then? So that's the 2 days in the rush. Right, and the raya, you know, to be mechalek was what are you going to do about muveris? Right, and as we noted, you know, why aren't they quoting from the general din of kola ola? Oh, I'm sorry, the general chiluk of ase bala. Similar problem, and why are they quoting muveris, and what are they saying about muveris? So as we noted, you know, the rush is just saying, well, in the case of Muveris, you have to wait it out because you don't know. Right. So if Igloi Milsa Lamafreya, you know, that it all worked out and it was just a waiting problem, but nonetheless Rava thinks even a waiting problem, you know, there's no there's no chalitza, would he say the same thing about Nida? Or because there's not even a safek in the case of Nida, you know, it's just a wait. It's only a waiting problem. Here, it's a waiting problem to know, and then lamafreya, you know, right? But there still was a legitimate waiting problem, because of not knowing, as opposed to it's just a matter of mechusar, you know, zman and a little maisa. Yeah, Levi.
But isn't nida even worse? Because nida is bada, bada be biyad isura. It's like even more biyad isura by nida than here. So if
right, it's better and it's worse. It's better because in time it's vadai going away, right? And it's worse because at the moment it's vadai asur, whereas in the case of Yibum, it is vadai asur, but it's only vadai asur b'torah safek.
Once we're working within Abai and Rava, and Abai is telling us it's based on the idea of Yisur,
right? I mean, this is Rava, yeah.
And Rava is just expanding that so much to even basically say that she's not
even
counting all of the
Yibam
anymore. So then,
she's not all the Yibam, even if it's only temporary. Mm-hmm. And even in the Mafreya.
Even though it's only a problem, you know, in a procedural problem in the implementation, a disqualification in the implementation of Yibam.
Yeah.
Not a problem in the chefs of the woman. It's not a problem in the chefs, it's only a problem in procedure.
Well, again, but the Shaito it was.
But Bashaito was a problem that, I'm saying by Mimu Beres, Bashaito was a problem.
Well, it wasn't just procedurally. Meaning, Lemafreya, let's say it this way. Lemafreya, it was a procedural problem. Bishaito, it was a potential Eshazach problem.
Well, because of, but.
Which you don't have in Nida. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
So it's better, I hear you. I'm not taking, just like what Nathan said before. It's not that we're taking the position that you can always say, you know, things in both directions, but it so happens that these are complicated cases. They have upsides and downsides. This is another example of it. I'm just saying this is a very strong formulation that Abai and Rav are arguing about a timing question, right? But and again, it's particularly fascinating in light of the previous Ritva, you know, about, you know, why would Abai be mechalek, you know, from a Safek and a Lemafreya point of view. So I think this, you know, putting those two extremes together is very important. Okay, good. Having said all of that, what is the Meiri also asks this question, namely this question of, what happened to Asay Balav? Yeah.
But do we have to say for the Ritva that Asay Balav is Derabanan Chalitza?
That what?
According to the Ritva, is it required that we say like the Shadrashba or like the?
No. I don't. I think he's not saying that.
Because he says
that's about to say Neri. Oh. Neri says that.
Because he says whenever you can't do Yibum Ba'ota Shamamish, there's no Chalitza ever, right?
Doraisa.
So by Kohen
Gadol, this is a Din Doraisa.
So I'm saying by Kohen Gadol for Almana, you have to say that the Chalitza is only the Rabbanan, right?
No, he says that's Miribuya. That's a special. Did we don't know exactly why that's different? We don't know, but again, he doesn't say what Ramban says. You know, Ramban says that it's, you know, Isra Bishim Go Davrach. The Rajba and the Ritva both say about the Asay Valav, you know, that it's not Isra Bishim Davrach. They say Ribuya. That's even more striking for the Rajba, who has a more expansive and less expansive Isra Bishim Davrach than the Ramban, you know, at the same time. Again, and that's why I mentioned that Avni Miluim, who thought that's what the Rajma means too. You know, but it doesn't sound that way. The Ritva certainly doesn't sound that way. But it sounds like it's the Raisa.
Right. It's weird because it seems
the view in the Rishon, in Chachmei Sfar, I'll just add one more second, that this is a Din Derabanan in Chachmei Sfarad is rare. Again, the Ramban never had it. The only time the Ramban has it is in the Hava Mina, you know, about, Chai V'Lav and Rav Gidel, you know, and all of that. He never has it otherwise, as far as I know. But I haven't seen it. It could be I missed something. The Rajba has it in the Tshuva, right? The Chachmei Provence seem to be way more into it. Or I would say, early Spain, the Ramah, they quote. I mean, but we know that Ramah through Rav Avram Minahar, right? So again, I'm not making a geography, or certainly not, or a school's, you know, issue of it, but I don't think it's necessarily a coincidence, you know, either. Namely, in Provence, you know, whether it's Rav Avraham Minahar's citation of the Ramah, the Meiri, this is a much more popular view. The Meiri has it as two deos, But here on Daf, if somebody has a line on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, the Meiri says it exactly that way. He says, yeah, because that's only a Din Derabanan, meaning the Amana Lekoin, Amana Nesuma Lekoin Gadol. But I don't think that's what the Ritva means at all.
It's just interesting because now it's exerzikosev that's like totally against the svara of Kol Ola, as opposed to like exerzikosev that you can explain.
Right, you probably could still explain it on some level. Maybe what he means is, you know, that if there are universal, you know, I thought the opposite, meaning what is worse, you know, in terms of, you know, negating, let's say, Yibum, you know, and allowing for chalitza, like a universal kind of a psul, like, you know, einase dokolos ase viase, or something more, you know, particularistic to Yibum itself. You know, that kind of a... I think there are ways to explain it. It's just not so obvious. I don't think you can explain it just through yezika or einzika in the normal tfisas kiddushin criteria. That I don't think you can do. But I think there are ways to explain this. Like, what would he say about, you know, Noderis is Ase Velav too? He'd probably say that's the same thing. Even though the Rajba does distinguish them and thinks Noderis is Isur Bishum Dabracher and Ase Velav is Bishum Ribuya. So I do think that there are things to say, whether it's specifically Alman and the Su and Kohen Gadol, or it's this idea, I think there are things to say. They're just not the clearest distinctions, you know, about, you know, technicality, you know, a lack of implementation, a lack of mitzvah, you know, something that has nothing to do with tzvitzas kidu. It's not one of those chilukim, but I think there are still chilukim based on things that we tend to say. But it certainly sounds like it's a din d'oraisa. Whereas the Meiri, anybody have the Meiri? Go ahead, Akiva. Yeah, even though on Daf Chaf, he actually quotes both Deos, right? But clearly, and here and a few other places, you know, unlike, let's say, the Chumsa Rajba, who just mentions it, you know, it seems like, you know, he's partial to it, right? And that, of course, you know, gives you, you know, a clearer, I guess, perspective on Kola Oleb, you know, even if it's not a Zika problem, but that it's a problem of, like, you're spurning, you have to spurn Yibum in order to, you know, qualify, you know, for the Hagdara of Chalitza, you know, because that's what Chalitza is, you know, it's... You know, you're saying me'ain yavami, you know, and not just saying those words. That's not a gzeres akasim. It's like we said, you know, it's the idea of, you know, the abel and the, you know, and the misa, like, you know, dying all over again, you know, and you know, it's a terrible emotional, all of that. But you know, he's like, you know, it's like, you know, the anus, you know, the guy who's, you know, on the other side of the bridge, screaming, you know, Chaziv Yasoi. I want to do it. You know, don't spit at me and, you know, and read these psukim at me. You know, I'd love to be me. What more would I want to do than Kieshu Achim Yachta? But, you know, my hands are tied. So are my hands tied because, you know, it's Chai Bekrisus? My hands are tied because it's Chai Belabin? My hands are tied because it's a suffix? And whatever it is, they won't let me do it. And they certainly wouldn't let me do it, you know, temporarily. So the temporarily is an interesting question, you know. You know, is there chalitza just, there's no chalitza just because for the next, you know, 2 months until we know whether the Vlad is Kayama, or in the case of Nida, but that's, you know, if for the next 2 weeks or the next month or whatever it is, you know, you know, there won't be, you know, Yibum, but there could be Yibum, right? And if he wants to be Miyabim and wait it out, he could. So that's also a problem in Chalitza. If the Mechayiv or the Hagdara of Chalitza is, you know, the decision of Eini Chafetz, you know, liyabe. That's an interesting, as we discussed, that's an interesting question. Or it isn't even that mechayev. It's not the zika, and it's not the spurning. It's the need for the alternative, you know, per se. In which case, you know, is that also something that applies, you know, in time? And does it matter if the time is, you know, defined, but there's a vadai waiting period? Or, you know, and is that better or worse than, you know, the time, you know, but it's a suffix, you know, so, you know, and it's a real problem, a suffix of a real problem, but that, you know, may end up to be, you know, lemafreya, no problem, other than a, you know, an iser gavra, you know, because of the suffix, right? What about that regarding either the spurning idea or the, you know, makbilut, the parallel idea? You always need both. You always need the alternative, and you define one in terms of the other because of the choice, you know, that accentuates the choice more that you're making. You know what I'm saying? So I think these are really interesting and important questions and issues. Good. Anyways, the Me'iri when he wants to explain this earlier on Daf Chaf, so let's talk about that just for a minute. I think I mentioned this, you know, about a week or so ago, you know, that there are two Me'iris, right? There's one on page 80, at least in my print, with page 82 and page 84, right? And what is their relationship? So I want to talk about that for a couple of minutes. We're running out of time, but we'll, you know, we're looking forward to 2 weeks from Thursday, but we're not looking forward yet because we have other things to look forward to, you know, before that, right? Sipri Tzias Mitzrayim. Okay, so, yeah. So on page 84, is it 84? Yeah, so the language of the Me'iri is, I think, very interesting. Anybody have that? When he explains this, you know, earlier, that there is no, you know, chalitza, you know, when there's befoal, no yibum. I'm not sure quite what to make of it. There's a resha and a... You have it, Yehuda?
I'm not sure if it's page 84, but...
It could be I'm mixing up my 82s and my
84s. Well, I don't know which is which, but...
There's one on... 82 is when he speaks about, which I want to talk about in a minute, chalitza b'makom yibum ein mitzvah. Is that on... It could be I'm mixing them up.
I have silica zika.
What?
I have silica zika.
Yes, that's the one I want. That's to explain what? This question.
Yeah, yeah.
So the problem that he's trying to explain is why does he think, before he quotes the Yesh Omrim, but this is again what he's saying also in, to answer the question here in Be'uberes, right, on Lama and Vav. Why does he think that the din of, you know, there is chalitza b'liyibum, you know, in Asei V'lav, you have to read the Me'iri carefully, because the Me'iri on Daf Chaf, this one on page 84, is bound up, you know, with, you know, the Shakla V'Tarya of Rav Gidl. So you just have to read a little carefully. I'm pretty sure I'm reading it correctly. And that is that he's, like, transitioning from, like, the Hava Mina of the Gemara of Rav Gidl, you know, in Chai V'Lavin, and then he's saying, yeah, but of course, you know, that ends up not making the final cut, because we do paskin ase dochalos ase, you know, and it's just gzeira atubia rishona. But he says, when it comes to lav yase, you do have this, you know, parallel issue and problem, and you're not allowed to do yibum, and that's minatora, right? He says, oh, so why is there chalitza there? The answer is, that's only, go ahead, read that line, that's only drabana. What?
Right, just lead up to it.
And then he wants to explain why, why it's true that when there's chav yaseh v'lav, that midoraisa there should be no chalitza, even though midrabanan there is, and midrabanan there is only atu chav v'lav, right? Because you would mix up, you know, not everybody knows that almana lekohen gadol nesua, you know, or whatever is a lav and an aseh. So they might think that the problem is just the lav problem. And they might think that even in a lav, since we don't allow yibum, they would have to not know two things. Number one, they'd have to not know that there's a difference between lav and lav and ase. And they'd also have to not know that when it comes to the lav, you know, that you know, bia rishona is permitted d'oraisa. Like, can you imagine somebody not knowing both of those things? Right? Wow. No, I'm just joking. But if you don't know both of those things, then you could confuse, you know, the psak of Amana Nesua LeKohen Gadol. If somebody were to tell you that there's no chalitza, you'd think that there's no chalitza, you know, also in the Chayvei Lavan. Even though you have to make both of those mistakes. Correct? So we're very liberal in, you know, considering the possibility, you know, that people make mistakes of that sort. So then the Meiri goes on to explain, like, you know, and so what is this idea of Kola Ola, even in a case of Chayvei Lavan Viase, Midoraisa, that you would say Kola Ola Liibum Ola L'Chalitza Kol She'ein Ola Liibum Ein Ola L'Chalitza Midoraisa. Now read, Yehuda.
After that discussion about the Hashirina, Chayvei Lavan Viase.
Yeah. So he says, because Ein Chalitza Ella...
Ein Chalitza Ella Slech Hazika.
Or Velo Shayach... Or as you say, maybe I'm switching the order. Lo shayach bid the lo rami kamei liyibo. Right? Since it's lo rami kamei liyibo in ase, you know, vilav, midoraisa. Oh! So he quotes what? The Yerushalmi, Matzavar Chalitza Kenyan, Eino Ela Ptur. Wow. Right? That's an important line. That goes a little bit to what Zev was talking about before, and the Tosis Shanim, right? And the issue of the Beit Shmuel. Like, is there any element of Chalitza that is a mitzvah and not just a Ptur? I mean, it's counted according to the Rambam and the Chinuch in Minyan and Mitzvah, so we'll get to that in a second as well. Right? But this is a loaded Meiri. But it's again, it's not my fault. I have to, you know, just you know, plead the innocent here. It's not my fault that the Meiri, you know, wrote this obviously like a very... He was trying to say something, you know... you know, the lumdus or the, you know, the legal formulation is significant, but he did it in such a, you know, interesting way that we're not sure exactly which part to emphasize, right? Meaning, if you only read, what does he mean by the word Zika here? Right? I mean, I guess there are two ways that you could, if you only read Velo Shayach Bidilarami Kame Liibum, right? The Pashtus is that the Meiri is saying, you know, kind of what the, you know, Ritva, you know, was saying for Rava, but that's even more extreme. Abaye may agree with that, just not to the extreme of Rava, right? And that is what we're, the spurning idea. Or, if not the spurning, even more, you know, the need for a parallel. I mean, when there's no Yibum, there's no Chalitza. End of story. Right? Even better if it's not just a parallel, as I say, but it's a spurning. So, you can't say, or you can't, you know, do, you can't have a chalitza, you know, when the halacha is tying his hands, or you know, his feet, or whatever it is. Right? Correct? So that's what it sounds like, even though it is only an ase and a lav, and it's not krisus. Right? But since Lemaisa, Befoa, and it's not really different than Chayvei Lavan, let's say, fundamentally in terms of Zika, this is the way I would have said it. You know, in both cases there's Tfisas Kiddushin, you know. So either there is Zika or there's no Zika, right? The answer is there is Zika. Unless you want to say in Lavan, you know, there would be no Zika except there's a Heter, so there's no Lav. Okay, whatever. So what I would have said is that these words you know, are lo shayach b'delomri kame b'delorami kame liyibum means you know, begavra lemaisa befoal, you know, if there's no yibum, there's no chalitza, because that's what chalitza is. But then the second line, ein chalitza elasila kazika, you know, becomes a little bit of a problem. So the question is, what does he mean by the word? It's just hard to know. Zika. We've been using Zika mostly, correctly, the way the Rambam uses it and others, you know, to explain the automatic bond, you know, that is chal, you know, kind of the, you know, that's, you know, the hemsheh ha'ishus min ames, or the yitziras, you know, something equivalent to it, Zika, you know, bein hayavam, you know, lehayavama, right? You know, we've been using it that way. So normally you wouldn't think, you know, that that those words fit here, because here we're talking about Aseh V'Lav, where there is a Zika, there is Tfisas Kedusha, right? Unless you want to say, you know, that the words, two one of two things. Either that, you know, again, Zika doesn't depend on Tfisas Kedusha, and it depends on the, you know, the heter or the chiyuv, you know, and it's just, it's much more flexible, you know, lechumra, you know. So the point is that there's no zika here. So is that what he means? Meaning that he's just saying, you know, again, befoal, what he's saying is, whenever there's no yibum, then mimela, you know, there. But again, does that apply even in Buberes, where there's no sila kazika, right? So what does he mean? Does he mean not the regular way we understand zika, but more expansively? More likely, zika means here the chiyuv, or zika is created by the chiyuv yibum. And if there's no chiyuv yibum, then there's no zika, right? That's what he means. Or zika here is not, you know, literal at all. What he means here is, if it's lo rami alei liyavim, you know, then you don't need to be poter, that zika. You know, because, you know, if there's no chiyuv liyavim, there's no chalitza, you don't need anything else. And I'm just thrown a little by the word zika, is what I'm trying to say. But either way, the continuation, I think, is terrific. You know, he's basically saying, it's not like yibum, and it's not like chalitza is like yibum. Right, a kinyan. If chalitza was a kinyan like yibum, you could say, oh, it has its either, oh, it has its own zika. Or, who cares about, if you mean by zika, right, the chiyuv liyadim, there's a chiyuv lachlos. Right? So the answer is, there's no chiyuv lachlos. Chalitza is about being poter the zika. Or it's about, you know, being metakein the lack of yibum, you know, the chayfetz, lo chafatzti. Right? Either way, you know, it sounds like there are three elements in this me'iri, is all I'm trying to say. Right? The first one sounds like the fo'al, it depends on the actual possibility of yibum. The zika part throws a little bit of a wrench into all that, but I think you have to look at it in different ways, I'm not sure. And the last part, which is, it's a matir, not a kinyan, quoting the Yerushalmi, is very important, you know, to, you know, whichever interpretation. Yeah.
So it's just interesting because in Jastrow dictionary for Zika.
Marcus?
Yeah.
It's called Marcus Welby Jastrow, but the Welby part I made up.
He's not talking about yibum in this case, but he says that the word zika sometimes just means a chiv, and he quotes zika's truma in Yerushalmi.
Right. No, that's why it can be. I'm saying, well, for example, when I was talking about, you know, the Ramban, which I put again on these marmakomos, about mitzvahs lavli honus nitnu and chalitza. Right, I'm not sure what the Ramban means, but Ramban is wondering, again, let's go back to that point, you know, why would you, let's say you have a chalitza sheli suriana, right? So why don't you say, You know, or would you say mitzvah slav lihonosnit? Sounds like you would say mitzvah slav lihonosnit, right? Oh, says the Ramban, but that shouldn't be the case, because many Rishonim have the exceptions. A big machlokes of Rishonim, actually, all the more probably disagrees. But many Rishonim, the majority of Rishonim, have this view that whenever there's hanas aguf, right, that we don't apply the rule of mitzvah slav lihonosnit. And if the hana is solely as a result of the chiyuv mitzvah, so we say, like Rashi says, oh, you know, the Torah didn't give you this, you know, for your pleasure, you know, it's exeris hamakom, you know, whatever, it goes a little bit to things we talked about in Hashkafa on Monday and other things, okay. However, whoever this, if you're going to dunk in the mikvah, you know, in Yamos, you know, Hakayitz, you know, so that's, you know, people pay good money for that, you know. So either to build a swimming pool in their backyard or to go to the public swimming pool. So that's not mitzvah slav lihonosnit, according to that group of Rishonim. So hu adin, if you're getting, you know, heter, and you can now marry everybody, the olam, you can marry anybody bashuk, right? So that should be heter agavra. It's not a perfect correlation, right? What is physical anah? The other is halachic anah. Okay, that might be the point. But with Ramban, seems, is that the answer of the Ramban? Or is the Ramban saying, in Ochanami, if chalitza was just a matir, you know, then you would say, you wouldn't apply the rule of mitzvah slav lihonosnit. However, maybe the real idea is that the zika isn't something like there's a chetza shel zika and you have to be matir it. Maybe the zika itself is noveya from the chiyuv to do either yibum or chalitza. So the point is that chiyuv to do chalitza at this point, you know, maybe the difference between the yibum, zika, and the chalitza, whatever. But the chiyuv to do chalitza is a halachic requirement, and that you say mitzvah slav lihonosnit. So why am I telling you all this? Meaning, of course, first of all, the word zika does mean that there's a certain bond or relationship, right? But it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that it's a default objective thing, you know, that exists independent of your chiyuv, you know, towards that person. Maybe, isn't that what you're quoting Marcus?
Yeah.
As saying?
Yeah, meaning it's a bond, which means, like, now you have
a chiyuv. I made up the well-be, but it wasn't an arbitrary makeup. Okay. Yeah.
It's not like a bond of ishus, it's just that you have
it's
to
a bond. A zika, like in Hebrew, modern means, say, you know, yesh zik, or Lichtenstein used to, it's part of the rock, he used to like to say zika a lot. Yesh zika ben, you know, ben shnei advarim. You know, there's a connection. You know, it's stronger than a kesher. A zika is, you know, like, you know, or zokuk kviyone, you know. It means that there's a strong pull or interface, you know, between these things. 100%. But all I'm trying to explain is when the Rambam says, you know, that zika, you know, is dependent upon tfisas kiddushin, right? You know, what he means is like the default. Again, for the Rambam, I don't think it's because of the issues of the mace. I think it's because, to use his language, we'll get the Rambam in just a minute. Hiknolo, the Rambam likes and expands on the principle of hiknolo min hashamayim, meaning the Rabbonu Shalom swooped in, and this Misa, and he created a Zika, you know, between them. So no, when we talk about Tfisas Kiddushin as opposed to Chai B'Lavin and that kind of a Zika, you know, we're not just talking about, oh, there's a connection or there's a chiyuv that one has to the other. We're talking of being a kind of a, and when we talk in the Gemara, Zika Kiknusa, Zika Daraisa, we're talking about the nature of that bond and how intense it is and how comparable or parallel it is. It's one of the topics I still want to do, for sure, to Ishus. You understand? In the Meiri here, you're right. I don't know exactly what he means. He might just mean, you know, that the chiyuv ibum or the chiyuv chalitza.
Because this could also solve the Rashi that we did and shared the other day.
Right? Yeah, but there, because he puts it in and it's unnecessary. I mean, the one on Gimel.
Yeah.
Right. But there, I think it's like his way of saying, don't think there's a klal here that says either there's an arbitrary gzeres hakasim, or the alternative aspect of it requires that there be parallelism, or it's a spurning thing, you know. Rather, it's a common denominator, you know, to be poter, because it's a clumsy, not clumsy. It's like if it was unnecessary and he wasn't trying to say something more about it, it would be like a superfluous, and that would make it a clumsy interpolation. Right? It says, Kola Ola Yibam Ola L'Chalitza. Kol Shein Ola Yibam Ola L'Chalitza. Rashi has that. Kola Ola L'Zikas Yibam Kola Ola L'Zikas Chalitza.
If you translate the word Zika to Chiyuv, then Rashi could just be the Perish of Kola Ola Yibam. It sounds like you actually have to do Yibam.
But what is he adding with it? Meaning, aside from making it more clumsy. Meaning, I mean, there's nothing in the language that makes, as a...
Well, the language sounds like...
As a poet,
the language sounds like you're actually doing both Yibam and Chalitza a little bit. Like, you're Ola to do Yibam, and you're also Ola to do
Ola. Ola means you're a candidate. So Ola Yibam, Ola La Chalitza. So what do you gain by the word Zika? But you gain a lot if what you're trying to explain, and especially in the context in which you're explaining it about Gimel, you know, which is about Erva, you know, you're trying to say, there's no din per se... You know, that every, you know, Yibum has to, every Chalitza has to be parallel to, or even in context of, you know, a Yibum. You know, what we mean, at least on Dab Gimel, is something more elemental and more elementary, and something that probably doesn't even need a Gzeres HaKasav at all, unless the Gzeres HaKasav is to teach you the limit of it. I mean, there aren't two Zikos, there's no other din, namely, you know, it's all this din is about the common denominator. Then it's great to interpolate it, is all I'm saying. It doesn't come trippingly off your tongue. It doesn't make the words more appealing, and it doesn't add clarity to the concept, you know, of the, you know, if we're talking about stamach zeres hakasuv, you know, a parallel for the sake of choice, or you know, a tikkun, because you're not doing the best thing that you should be doing. I'm saying it doesn't. That's why, to me, I don't have a great answer, but the next line of Rashi is so tamua. You know, for him to go and say, oh, and every time you have chalitza, you know, without yibum, it's always midin sape, it's very strange. Right? Unless he means safek like chalitza or something like that. But, you know, not safek as a drabanan. Maybe that's what he means. Who knows? Yeah.
Can I just review the specific language as being the Dayak and the Iri? Because I think if I'm following correctly, our Gerson might be slightly different than what Rabbi was reading. I'm not saying the first line.
Yeah, read what you have.
V'din hu gam kein zotei tzvi chalitza, shkosh eno liba min olo chalitza. V'chein hadin, meaning it's mistabe.
V'chein hadin, meaning I'm comfortable with it.
Yeah, right.
De
kol de lo ramya kamei li'ibom chalitza lima, or lama.
Right, kol la ramya le, to me means not just... What?
Is that... It's not, I mean, the whole little round, it seems like it's one sentence.
Kol she'en on butala lav liyadeim.
Chalitza lama, v'harei ein chalitza el sila kazika. Is that not one sentence?
I'm just saying, what do you need, why use the word sila kazika? I would have said, sila mitzvah siba. That's what I would have, meaning if he was saying, and I mostly think that he is saying, that, meaning, what I'm trying to determine is the Meiri looking at Kol Ola L'Yibum, you know, again, also as something having to do with Zika? Mm-hmm. Right? Just that he has an expansive view of Zika because he's applying it even where there is Tfisas Kiddushin. You understand?
Is that not a
in which case, the Rami, the Seifa part, the Seifa part is more important than the Reisha part.
I'm not understanding what's
Where's saying. What's that?
What does Seifa part mean?
The word Zika,
what he says,
meaning what he's saying is, okay, you know, the idea of Chalitza is to misalik a Zika, okay, just like the, let's say if we would say it this way, just like the Yibum is to be Mekayim and to be Mechazek the Zika.
That's the common denominator.
Right. So if that's what he's saying, then the idea of, he would be expanding what Zika is, though, because typically we think there's full Zika, you know, in the case of Aseh Balav, because it's Tfisas Kiddushin.
Okay, so he's saying there's no...
And also the word rummy, you know, called the rummy alei liyabim, would just be another way of saying, you know, that the, that there's a Zika, as opposed to, and or is or isn't a Zika, as opposed to saying, is there a you know, lemaisa, befoal, you know, is he mechuyav, you know, is he spurning it, or not, or he's just not mechuyav, because...
Where's
Rami
getting the spurning? I don't see where that formulation comes through at all.
All I'm saying is that the Rami Alei, I don't want to spend too much time.
Rami
Alei Agavra.
That sounds the spurning idea. That's
yeah.
What there.
As opposed to, you know, meaning there is a, meaning, what is the kesher between Chalitza and Yibum for the Mira? It's a simple question. Is it Zika? Right? Which I would have thought would have higher standards and wouldn't apply automatically, like in the case of Uberes, in the case of, you know, Aseh Balav, etc. Right? But no, he thinks, no, that's what it is. And maybe it's Nobeya from the Chiyuv, and so maybe just has a different perspective on that. Or, the word Zika is Lavdafka here. What he really means to say is, I'm very comfortable saying that whenever there's no Yibam, there's no Chalitza, even if there is what we're normally calling Zika, because at the end of the day, there's still no Chalitza, because Chalitza is about, you know, Me'ein Yavami, you know, he refuses to do that, meaning he has a choice, and, you know, he's causing, you know, more Avelus, or he's killing him again, you know, first he was killed, and now... is Gilgul being killed, or whatever you want to call it, right? Or his legacy's being, you know, wiped out, you know? So it doesn't really matter, you know, that what matters for the Chalitza, you know, connection is not objective Zika. Even if there is an objective Zika, you know, you don't have to be misalik that if the guy isn't intentionally or by will, by choice, ignoring the evil. That's why I thought the words La Rami Ale. And then when he's going on to the continuation, which is, it's not like this is a kinyan. What are you saying? If Chalitza was a kinyan, you know, so then it might depend on what I'm saying normally, Zika. Like, or its own Zika. But it isn't. It's a siluk. A siluk of what? So he says siluk of Zika. I think he's just using the term Zika here, like you say, like which is, in this context, it means the chiyuv of the yavam to go ahead with it, which he's ignoring.
Can I just make one more point? I think the line that we have is that lo ramia kamei, meaning kamei, it's talking about the yavama.
Kamei the yavam.
Yeah, I mean, if the yavama is a woman who's not mechuyeves in yibum, there's no point to do chalitza.
Or if he can't, for whatever, remember.
Rebbe's more focusing on the tzad of the, I'm just saying, Rebbe focusing, like, if the yavam has no, there's no, the yavam's not going to do yibum, there's no point in him doing chalitza, because chalitza is the spurning of his
If he yibum. Could, and he can't, if he, right. In other words, if he can't, even though he would, then there's right. No point. All I'm saying is the Meiri, what he says on Daf Chaf about, again, Aseh Balav, we could talk about it. That's what he's applying it to.
Okay.
On Lamed Vav, he's applying it to Milberes. The same principle. Right? Even though there is a Zika in the end, right? Where did the Zika go? Right? So, I mean, Igwai Muslim, our friend, is a Zika, but nonetheless, right? Bishaito.
Right there, it's a sperm.
I'm saying, you know, maybe that's one of the reasons that's like,
okay.
You know, Reish Lakish in a way. Okay. Good. So just another, sorry, I'm late. Let me just add one other point here. Okay, and then we'll pick up with this, you know, in 2 weeks at 10:15. Not 10:16, but 10:15. We'll have the car washed by then. Okay. On page 82, right? Anybody have seen page 82, meanwhile? He also has a very interesting formulation that you would have thought he wouldn't need, given page 84. So maybe that proves that. I would say that Mark is right, but, you know, and I'm happy to give him credit, but, you know, it's really a part of my suffix. I'm not sure either. Right? I'm just trying to point out that the word Zika and the word Rami Kamei and the depiction based on the Yerushalmi of this being a matir, not a kinyan, those don't go together perfectly. That's really what I'm trying to show.
It's between Mark and Marcus over here.
What?
It's between Mark and Marcus.
Between Mark and Marcus. I hear that. No, I don't think Marcus is even Jewish, by the way, which is a remarkable thing.
I think he was conservative.
Really? Conservative Jew?
Yeah, he's a rabbi.
According to Wikipedia.
Somebody told me that he wasn't Jewish. He was German.
Jesenius was German.
What?
Welby probably wasn't
Jewish. Welby is a fictional character. It was a television program called Marcus Welby, M.D. So when I first saw that the guy who wrote the Jastrow's name was Marcus, I was very, taken, by that name. And he was a doctor. I said, Dr. Marcus Jastrow. So I thought, his middle name should be, Welby. That's all. But the... I thought he wasn't Jewish, but we'll find out.
Yeah. He was Jewish.
Anybody? He was?
Yeah, he was Jewish. Yeah.
He was Jewish?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, all the years I thought he wasn't Jewish. Anyway, he did an... It's a very good encyclopedia. Yeah. Yeah.
Does this idea that chalitza's... Two questions. One, is it saying chalitza's not a kinyan at all?
How does that go
with the first Mishnah?
All I'm saying is the Meiri bringing in the Yerushalmi and the line, that it's not a Kenyan, it's a Matir, is very significant here.
Does that necessarily contradict the first Mishnah Kiddushin and Kodesh Atzma, or is that?
It doesn't necessarily. I mean, not necessarily, but I mean, in Gittin also we know that there's. But I do think that Mishnah is relevant 100%. And I don't think that everybody agrees that it's not a Kenyan. I think that's two different views in the Yerushalmi. And then, I think that's what the Beis Shmuel in the name of the Zohar is talking about. So we'll sum all that up. I don't think it's Pasha. I just think the Meiri quoting it to explain why he doesn't like the simple, what seems to be, there are two Doraisas in the Gemara that the Meiri doesn't like. One, he has a lot of company, and the other, he has less company. But it's very interesting, right? One is, and again, he's not the only one, but this, idea that ase docha los ase, the ase, is mufka miyibum daraisa and chai b'chalitza b'daraisa, is certainly the predominant view, in the world of the halakha. Again, it's not necessarily predominant, in pre-Ramban Spain, and in Provence, But either way, the Ramban, the Meiri is taking a stake. He quotes both Deos, and on Lamed Hey, in other places, he seems to be more comfortable with the other day. That's one. And the other one is that the Psak, according to Reish Lakish and Meuberes, right, is a Dindra Banan, not a Dindra Rice. Both of those are not mainstream Psakim. Okay. Now, so just one other thing as we finish. Sorry. What's on page 82? You know? A different question. Uriel?
Yeah.
A lot of things on page 82.
He talks about assay, dochalos assay.
Oh, do you even have the numbers? It maybe isn't fake.
Yeah. No, I have page 82.
Oh, yeah, the page. Okay, great. Yeah, sorry. Otherwise, Natan, what's on page 82? A different question, but a related, a potentially related question. Yaakov?
I just don't have page
82. Oh, okay. Good. Oh. What's the other issue? Exactly. What nothing? Exactly. So, as we said, when we did our little, that's why we do a Hakdama, right, to try to portray the bigger picture. So we're sensitive to what's going on, and then we see they're related or not related. But the question of kola ole, and the potential exceptions, you know, is one very interesting and important issue that we've been dealing with, correct? Another interesting and important question is this Yerushalmi discussion. Namely, is this a matir or is it a mitzvah? You're not going to say the Yibum isn't a matir. You don't call the Yibum is certainly not just a, it's a kinyan, right? Kondi lo kondi. Is chalitza matir? That's why also I mentioned the Ramban about mitzvah lav lihanos nitnu. That might be only true about the chalitza part, right? That maybe Yibum isn't the mechayiv of tzika, Yibum is the fulfillment of tzika. Or maybe it's both. But either way, Yibum is certainly a kinyan. You know, is chalitza just a matir, or is it also a kinyan? Maybe it depends, right? And that, again, goes to, could you even, if Tosis Shonim's idea that maybe you could have a chalitza, you know, even where you don't need a matir, is definitely a statement of it being somewhat a mitzvah, right? We'll see in the Rambam in just a second. Before I leave, I just want to at least get the Rambam on the record, because I mentioned the oblique, you know, the oblique Rambam, the, you know, his struggle about, Arifas and Pidyon Chamor, you know, in his, you know, kind of, what can I do? It's like Yibam and Chalitza, right? But what does it say actually about Yibam and Chalitza? Again, it's hard to pin it down like the Meiri, but at least we should know what the problems are, right? So we'll get that in a second. So those are all issues, like the one mitzvah, two mitzvahs, kinyan and matir, both kinyanim, both matirim, right? But another bit issue is, do we say, since this is a very, very unique phenomenon, you know, will we say that chalitza b'makom yibum ain't a mitzvah? Meaning when the Gemara says, why don't you say efshar l'kayim shneim? Right? So the Gemara says, well, chalitza b'makom yibum ain't a mitzvah. So as I pointed out, you know, there are two issues here, two or three issues. Right? One is, in general, in the world of, or in the factor of, efshar l'kayim shneim, you know, in ase docha lo sase, you know, how do we define yochal l'kayim shneim? What drop-off? You know, that's one question. You know, let's say you're focused on one particular avenue or application, but there are others. Does the efshar l'kayim shneim have to only, is it limited to, you know, basically the application that, let's say it requires a different person. Let's say it requires a drop-off in l'chatchila or mitzvah namuvchar, right? And let's say it requires, you know, a formal halachic alternative, right? Or let's say it requires, you know, a competing halachic alternative, not like Yibum and Chalitza, but some other mitzvah, right? When it comes to Efshar L'Kayim Shneim, like, you know, what is the criteria? Is it only when, like, it's a no-brainer, there's nothing lost? Is it, yeah, even if everything is lost, right, as long as it's not, you know, inferior or another mitzvah, like, what is it? That's one question. And the second question, when you're applying it, is what is the discrepancy or the interrelationship, you know, between the efshar and the efshar l'kayim in this particular case, right? So in the case of Yibum and Chalitza, we're in a very interesting position, because on the one hand, you know, it's not two alternatives within the same mitzvah. Let's assume, like, the Rambam and the Chinuch and most of the Monian mitzvah, we count them as two different mitzvahs. Is it true, is it enough to say there are two different mitzvahs, technically? You know, and, you know, that's all we mean. There's no tziruf. Either related mitzvahs, they're alternative mitzvahs, even then, or maybe dafka then. Or are we saying something about the fall off? Meaning, what we're saying is, chalitza b'makom yibum ena mitzvah, basically suggesting, broadly speaking, two perspectives. One is, chalitza b'makom yibum, right, ena mitzvah. Meaning, ha'iluchu dekai v'ha'iluchu dekai. They're two different mitzvahs. Do we care if they're two different mitzvahs about the fallout, about which is better, which is worse? Maybe not. Right? Except that calling them two different mitzvahs, you know, as opposed to only knowing that they're two different mitzvahs, when it's like this, is also a statement. Or no, that's not what we mean. It has nothing to do, either because in general we wouldn't care, or per se, or we would care, but this is different because these aren't any old two different mitzvahs. These aren't two different mitzvahs addressing the same, you know, problem. So what we really care about, what we really mean to say, is that, like, we want you to do Yibum. So the fact that, you know, you could do Chalitza isn't Afshar L'Kayim Shneim. It could be this, that there are two elements. We're saying, A, something about Aseh D'Chalos Aseh, and B, we're saying something about the relationship of the mitzvahs. Okay, so having said that, right, this opens up a very interesting question. Does the nature of Yibum and Chalitza being two mitzvahs play a role here? A. B, you know, what about the drop-off, you know, forget about the two mitzvahs, what about the drop-off or the preference? And what about the practical preference as opposed to the, you know, theoretical, you know, preference, which we know is a factor in Habashol and the Chachamim, at least according to many, right? So, having said that, what the Meiri takes a very interesting stand on that question, right? What does he say one more time? Who has it open?
I have it.
Yeah.
The Shema Torah hears us and Zeh Adokhalos Aseh, right? After the time of Aseh B'chalitza. In Zeklum, Shachalitza Mitzvah Acharesi, Rumakam Yibam, Lo Nechshva,
okay, the rest is fine. So, what's he saying? He's not saying that chalitza is inferior. It's a different mitzvah. How can you compare them? So I find that very curious. Okay, let's compare that, by the way, to the Tashbetz. One of the lines in Tashbetz. You know, Simin Kuf. Meaning the one that dealt with Nishma Levatel earlier in the year. Right? I was going to say, you know, we brought it up practically at the beginning of the year, and, you know, we'll bring it up in the end, but we're not, because we have another, you know, 2 weeks from Thursday at 10:15, and hopefully something in June also. So, the Tashbetz clearly emphasizes what? If you remember.
One mitzvah.
That they're one mitzvah, and that there's an inferiority, right? Lav mitzvah min amuvchar, levatel yibum b'shvila. It's talking about a different issue, right? Namely, nishba levatel is a mitzvah. He says, lav mitzvah min amuvchar, meaning doing chalitza, levatel yibum b'shvila. Meaning it would be nishba levatel is a mitzvah even if you're going to do chalitza, because yibum is preferable. So this is a very interesting question. So I just want to leave you with the two points. Okay. One is, the Meiri, given, if it's true, that the Meiri on page 84 is telling us, this isn't a matir. I'm sorry, this isn't a kinyan, it's a matir. You know, the idea of kola ola is that yibum is preferable. And, you know, it's like a lavanita, it's like a mitzvah babamera, you know, whatever. But you don't have that if the guy's... doesn't have a choice, if that's what he means. So it would have been easy for the Meiri to say, you know, on page 82, namely, you know, the line of the Gemara, but again, we have different applications, right? This kola ola, there's chalitza b'makom yibum eina mitzvah, right? There's, what is a nishba levatel is a mitzvah? Right? They share a lot in common. They overlap. That doesn't mean that they have to be identical. Would you say about, let's say, you know, it was the opposite, right? Let's say, you know, would you ever say, you know, chalitza b'mokom, yiva b'mokom chalitza in a mitzvah? Maybe according to the Meiri on page 82 you would. They're two different mitzvahs. That's not a problem of Efshar L'Kayim Shneim. It's not Mitzurah. We're only working within the mitzvah. Right? And as far, or the other pshat, mitzvah min amuvchar, you know, Not if you have to drop off, and especially significantly. So all I'm saying is the Me'iri, who's basically saying, what, this is a you could do the matir, therefore there's a dechia from the mitzvah. Right? It sounds like two things. Number one, when it comes to Efshar L'Kayim Shneim, the key point is the mitzvos, not the relationship, you know, of preference, but in both directions. Because here's a case where, let's assume, there is a drop-off, but that wouldn't have been enough within one mitzvah. Right? But it is enough, you know, as two mitzvos, even though there's a drop-off. You know what I'm saying? So that's number one. Okay, with that, I'm going to have to stop. So let me just add one other ha'ara as we can close. I mentioned the Rambam, just to note that the Rambam himself, when he formulates Yibam and Chalitza, just does so differently in each of the three places. Like in the Koteret, I'm sure we mentioned this earlier, or maybe not, I don't remember. In the Koteret, it is, like as a minig to go longer last year, even though it isn't the last year, but since it was supposed to be the last year, right, it was kind of artificially not. The foal it isn't, but it was the fact that it had that original designation.
It still has the last for the Bechina. It still makes it.
I hear because on the Bechina.
Yeah. Maybe next to the Shemitah.
Right. Because of Aaron's hard bargaining. Yeah. Okay, so liyavim and lachlots. Okay, it sounds like yin and yang, you know, equal, parallel. Then when you read, you know, Hilchos Yibam v'Chalitza, you know, clearly you get the, number one, the preference. You get the preference not only in Yibam, but especially in Chalitza. But more than that, Mitzvah Saseh Min HaTorah, that's how the Rambam starts. Starts with the Mitzvah Saseh. Sheyayabim Adam, Eishas Achiv Mi'avi, Beim Ben HaNesuin, Beim Ben Erisin, and Meis Belo Zera. This is, of course, Min HaTorah Ein Tzorech L'Kadosh Yivemto. This is the fact that he starts with this. Shezu Ishto, like the unwritten question, not even the Shehikten Lo Min HaShemayim, which is in the Gemara, but as we noted, the Gemara has it in a very limited way. The Rambam, Pirush Mishnayos, and Yad HaChazaka is, you know, for him, it's like not Eishes HaMeis, Kiddushe HaMeis, it's Hikten Lo Min HaShemayim. And it's like, okay, but it's all Mitzvah Saseh, and it's all this idea, this Yitziras Hazika Al Yedei Hikten Lo Min HaShemayim. Then comes halacha bet. Lo ratza liyabeim, o shelo ratza si, hareza chol etzla, the achakach tia muteris liyinase liyacher. So two things. He doesn't say mitzvah yet. Right? First, it's like in the aftermath of the yibum. Like if you're not going to do the yibum, which we really, 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 really want you to do, right? Or because you can't, because you can't impose it, then hareza chol etz. And the achakach tia muteris teres li nasa li, it's going to be a matir. This language, achakach tia muteris, is very similar to the language Ram uses in Hilchos Shechita, where he talks about Shechita as a matir. He talks about Gittin as a matir. But then he adds, u mitzvah saseh min haTorah lachlots, again, im lo rotza liyave. So he should have just started saying, if he really wanted to keep the parallel, you know, equal, he shouldn't have said, he's basically repeating the halakha. Instead of starting with the mitzvah like he does with Yibum, right, he starts with the, you know, aftermath of no Yibum and the matir, and then he goes back and says, U'mitzvah saseh min haTorah lachlots, im lo ratza liyavim, repeats it again, shenemar v'choltza na'alo, and then he adds, here in the second halakha, when he talks about Chalitza, right, which originally is a, you know, kind of, you know, compensation for, and then at least it gets a mitzvah status, but even then, repeated, only im lo chafetz, u mitzvahs yava yibam kodemes le mitzvahs Chalitza. Right? So I think that's just very interesting in terms of the relationship. In Sefer HaMitzvos, you know, in addition to that interesting Petar chamor and tipne beser issue. You have it as a, what is it, resh tes, resh tazayin and resh yudzayin, is that right? So just again, here it sounds like, and this is something we talked about at the beginning of the year, you know, that these are two different mitzvahs. One is on him and the other is on her. It's also interesting. Resh tazayin is hishuk sivanu lios hayavam, and it's no say es eshes achiv. We have to really, right, Al? We have to, I guess, check out the Arabic, the Kapach and the Chaim Heller. But assuming the way it's read here, right, lios hayavam no say es eshes achiv kishemes velo hiniach zera, etc. That's because, again, that's consistent in one way, but meaning hikna lo ben hashamayim, so you don't need erusin, so it's really a kind of nesuin. So this actually works very nicely. Not so explicit enough in the Gemara like that, or in the Rishonim, you might have said the Yibum is erusin v'nesuin v'vasachas, right? Or it's nesuin on the erusin of the, not that you don't need erusin, you have erusin, whatever. All that is consistent. And then Reish Zion, he should sivanu lios hayavama choletzes, right? Liyibma, liyavam shalom. In other words, im lo yisa ena. So here the emphasis is: you don't get that impression in the koteret or in the halachos. And as we've discussed, she does, right, the ceremony of chalitza, right, but it's done to or you know at, you know or with him. So is that a fair characterization? Should Tzivanda Lios Heyabama Choletzes Liyabama? Liyabama, sorry? Or Liyabama? Ah, with a mapake? Im lo yisa'ena? Hu amara v'chol tzonala mi'al raglo? And here he adds again, u'kfar zbaru dine mitzvah zu mesechet ha-mechuberes, hi mesechet yabamos, u'kfar yadata l'shon amaram, quoting that Mishnah in Bechoros, which he's so fond of, Pirsh Mishnayis, Sefer Mitzvos earlier, right? Mitzvah Sibum kodemes l'mitzvah chalitza. L'chein nik, also this, l'chein nikreis ha-mesechta yivamos. Could have been yivamos because she's a yivama, right, a sister-in-law. V'afa pishi koleles dina yibum v'achalitza b'shaveh. But it's in chalitza that he mentions that yibum is kodem. Like, that's, you know, that's not fair. Like, you know, it's like, you know, kodesh, you know, imi babayis. Like, he's talking about chalitza now. But that's the nature of what chalitza is. Okay, so I think it's very interesting, again, in light of both of these questions, or all three of these questions, or more. Nishma Levatel, you know, chalitza b'makom yibum in a Mishnah, you know, as well as questions of kol ha'olah liyibum. Even though the Rambam, again, in Epis Malachim, thinks that kol ha'olah goes in two directions. One final comment, and that is, I mentioned cheresh and chareshes the other day in Tosis, and the flipping of the order and so on. First of all, in Tosis itself, is, if I didn't make it clear then, I'll make it clear now, the flipping of the order seems to have two deos. The Ramban seems to be against flipping the order. He always has, he omits that was part of Tosis and so on. On the other hand, there are some mefarshim, including Marach or Zeruah, who has a line which he says, I think I mentioned the other, I alluded to it, that, you know, you see from Cheresh v'Chareshes that you can't flip the order, right? Because there, you know, there could be Yibum even without Chalitza, which is exactly what Tosas, you know, Tosas says it doesn't, it's not a good raya because it's a technicality. So again, what you see is that if there had been such a din, that's only a good raya. Everybody agrees that it's a technicality that there's no chalitza for chareshas, right? Had, you know, it doesn't make, had there been such a din, according to that view, it would have been even in the case of a technicality. So that's also something to draw. Finally, one other thing to, not to talk about, but to think about, and we'll pick up on it, this question of Eina Mishnah, as I mentioned again a couple of weeks ago, triggered Achronim question, especially the Nord Yehuda in Adrasha, but it got picked up by the Avnei Nezer and Simon Reish Kap Gimel and others to ask, like, why don't you say the same thing if there are multiple tzaros, or multiple brothers. If there's only Chai Laban, let's say, in to one of them, because of one of the brothers or one of the tzaros, so why not say that it's Efshelekayim Shneim? Just as you say it in Chalitza, why don't you say it in multiple tzaros or multiple brothers? So that triggered also a whole discussion. I want to pick up also at that point, both in terms of Efshelekayim Shneim and what does it mean, Eina Mishnah, yes or no, but also in terms of a little bit the relationship between multiple brothers, multiple tzaros, are they the same or not? And again, if you want to just get a little bit of a tamsis, I think Rabbi Chana of Asaman discussed this question. Kovitz Arison takes a very radical view. I think he basically says in Okanami. I have to look up the number about that, but I remember that. But there's a very interesting tshuva in of the Noda Bihuda. I think it's Reish Chaf Gimel Siv Katan, like Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalid, which is worth looking at as well.